Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, year after year, we hear the same message this time of the year. Darkened heavens, earth upset and shaken, roaring of the seas, wars, rebellions among the nations. I sometimes feel like a perennial teenager in the sense that I just drowned out the words in the message. I've heard it all before. It's same old this time of the year. And nothing seems to change. Now, every one of the Gospels, the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all end with this same basic speech of Jesus about the end of the world in destruction. Every one of them, same basic speech. It's apocalyptic. It's a type of literature so very common and popular during the time of Jesus. And if it is found in three of the Gospels with a great deal of focus and attention, then it is not insignificant or unimportant. It may well define Jesus as one who truly came not just to be a teacher, a moral teacher of compassion and kindness, but as someone who announced the end of the world. The end of the world in terms of the final, not the final seconds of history, but the crucial moment that defines everything. It's close, I suggest, to a chess game. It's not like the football that could always have at the last minute a pass that catches everyone off guard or a run that goes up the whole field and turns the game. Chess is rather a kind of game in which the expert knows when it's over. The expert knows when there's been a play that one can no longer escape from. And so I always turn to that type of game because it does somehow present an analogy for the teaching and the announcement of Jesus at the end of the world. The game is over. It's foregone in its conclusion. Apocalyptic theology, as I said, was very popular at the time of Jesus. Maybe because there were so many people terribly oppressed, beaten down by harsh occupying armies. There was so much famine and disease that ran through the entire society. In fact, the last of the prophets described this terrible series of events, Daniel, a series of events of one beast after another coming out of the sea with iron claws and bronze teeth and horns, the kind of thing that almost evokes memories of Jurassic Park. It's the kind of thing that one would find in a B movie, a low budget movie that they play late at night or early in the morning, with these terrible things that come and frighten everyone. Daniel talks about that, and talks about the utter destruction that the whole world is in the verge of, except that God will not allow it to happen in the last analysis. God says, I'm on your side. And no matter what comes, we will prevail. We will prevail. If you take a second look at the text, our text, you may have it in hand, I don't know, but if you take a second look at the entire text of the gospel, you see that behind all the signs is really an image of a terrible, frightening storm of massive proportions with thunder, and that's what shakes the heavens, with thunder, with flashing, with clouds that even hide the sun and the moon and everything, with the surging tsunami waves that come up and destructively assail the coasts and villages and towns and mudslides. It's like a terrible storm. That's so frightening, it sends you running to the basement. And all of these images fit together. It's the ancient cosmology with three levels, with the heaven and the earth, and then something terrible from down below surging up and frightening people. Now, William Blake, the poet, the mystic, the artist, tried to describe these things, tried to take the imagery from the prophets and from these final speeches of Jesus, tried to take the imagery and draw them, but you can't, because it's one image after another, sometimes mutually contradictory, one image after another to make a point, a massive point, of the end of the world in destruction. But in the last analysis, God is in control. No matter how it feels from this side of the tapestry or looks with all the roof, rough and threads, loose threads, this type of literature is not history predicted. It's just too schematic. By that I mean there are three levels of creation, heaven and earth and something down below. There are three different emotional reactions. There is the emotion reaction of being perplexed, being dismayed, and being frightened to death. There are three admonitions. An admonition to be aware, to be vigilant, and to pray. It's all schematic. It's a different idea forced upon reality. This is a gospel for hard times. It's a gospel for hard times. It does not shrink from them. It does not invite us to turn away. It does not invite us to run away. Terrible, devastating destruction, a storm of some kind or another, the image for what comes into the world in utter reality, sometimes hidden but very real. Young soldiers who come home from terrible wars, broken inside, devastated from a war that Pope John Paul II said, don't go there. But they come home, and their families are utterly helpless because they don't know how to provide the kind of heart surgery that is required. And the newspapers talk about it once in a while. Or the home foreclosures, collapse of businesses and banks, not as tragic as the 30s, but very real. And let me tell you, there are some very quiet suicides that occur these days because of the utter heartbreak of it all and people who don't know where to turn. They just can't figure out where to turn. There's the long-term care of parents and spouses whom people watch slipping into the distant world of dementia, and they just don't know where to turn, and it never seems to stop. Massive unemployment, little kids sleeping in cars. These kinds of storms are real. They are real. And they somewhere, sometime or other, hit everyone in some form or other. I mean, the spirituality of the human growth to God inevitably includes a moment, a time, an experience which God allows to break us so that God can step in and recreate us. That's part of human life. And whether it's those kinds of economic or terrible disappointments or addiction or whatever may come into one's life, they're real. But the point is that God is in it all. This is a gospel for hard times. God is in it all. A God who enters the world as a child, vulnerable, dependent, to learn the human pain from inside and to show us the glory that is even present in the heart of the most terrible destructive storms. We do have a cross. And we have a cross here in the midst of our assembly this morning. And there is the promise of the Spirit. It strikes me that the old-fashioned religion of hell and brimstone is incomplete because it only focuses on the first part of apocalyptic theology. But it also strikes me that some of the newer evangelical forms are incomplete because they only focus on the comfort, the music, the message that's comforting and consoling and uplifting, the songs of praise. They're wonderful, but it's incomplete. The full gospel has both parts: the reality of both death and resurrection, the paschal mystery. And the gospel makes a point of saying, this one in particular, when these signs begin to happen, stand up, lift up your head, your redemption is at hand. When you walk through the storm, keep your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. The Gospel of the Lord.